and this is why I'm different, and this is why that's okay, then what's the point? What's the point of living in this beautiful, great melting pot where everyone can dare to be anything they want to be? He shrugged. Besides, haven't you gone to India and just stood among your relatives and listened to their stories and felt like, I don't know, like you wanted to tell more people? Dimple fiddled with the zipper on Celia's hoodie, avoiding Rishi's eyes. I don't know. I haven't been to India since I was 12. The tickets are too expensive for my parents. But even when I did, the thing I remember most is feeling like I didn't belong. I mean, I was already going through that phase at my school where I felt like my family was weird and different, and I just wished they'd be like all the other parents. But then I went to Mumbai and realized that to all the people there, I was American. I was still the outsider, and still strange, and I still didn't belong. She tucked a curl behind her ear, feeling that pinch of realization again, just like when she was 12. It had really been driven home when her cousin Preeti, who was the same age, had introduced Dimple to her neighborhood friends as her cousin from America. One of the girls, hearing Dimple's accent, had laughed and called Dimple Firang, which Preeti had explained, red-faced, meant foreigner. Preeti stuck up for her, but she could see it was half-hearted. Even Preeti thought Dimple was a Firang. She just didn't belong.
Interesting, Rishi said, a small breeze lifting a tuft of his hair so he looked adorably like an Indian Dennis the Menace. I guess I'm the opposite. I feel like an Indian-American here, and when I'm in India, like just an Indian. I see them both as equal and valid for me.
How are you so well adjusted? Dimple grumbled. Rishi snorted.
It's taken time, I swear. I went through this whole emo phase in middle school where I played with the alias Rick. He winced.
I'm just glad it didn't stick.
Dimple laughed.
Yeah, I like Rishi much better.
To be honest, even if I feel like I culturally belong, I don't really feel like I socially belong. I mean, just like you were saying, I've never belonged with the private school crowd. I've never really had good friends in high school I wanted to keep in touch with. There's no one I'll miss.
Dimple didn't want to admit how much what he was saying resonated with her. Loneliness. That's what he was describing. And she'd felt it so much it had become like a constant presence in her life, curled up against her like a sleeping cat.
I know what you mean, she said softly. Unfortunately.
I don't think it's unfortunate. It's probably why we get along so well. Even if you did viciously attack me when we first met.
Dimple laughed and Rishi beamed at her, the way he seemed to every time she laughed. It was like he was basking in her happiness. Instead of looking away like she usually did, she smiled back. Something flickered in his eyes. She itched her elbow and dropped her gaze.
What?
Nothing.
He looked away, but a small, secretive smile played at his lips. Dimple punched him lightly in the ribs.
What, Rishi?
He rubbed the back of his neck and looked at her sidelong.
That's just the first time you haven't pretended to be oblivious to the fact that you have a certain effect on me when you laugh.
Dimple felt her cheeks burning and she looked down at her boots.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Rishi chuckled quietly.
Yeah, I think you do. But I'll let it go since you clearly don't want to talk about it.
And Dimple found herself feeling just the slightest bit disappointed.
Chapter 22 Rishi. Little Comic-Con was going to be held in the lobby of the art department main building. As they passed another quad, Rishi saw it looming on the corner. It was a huge modern structure, and the lower floor consisted of mostly windows. Inside, Rishi could see a bustle of colorful activity, squirming clots of costumed people and booths and banners and demonstrations. He felt a pinprick of nerves along his spine. He'd had no idea it was going to be so busy. There was a massive sculpture of a fortune cookie outside, made from what looked like old clothes. As streams of people walked past, they reached out and grabbed a fortune from the opening.
"What is that?"
Dimple asked, and she picked up the pace. "I don't know," Rishi mumbled, trailing a little bit behind, wishing he'd just said he wasn't interested when he met Kevin Keough last week. "Are you interested in a degree in art?" "No, thank you."
"How hard would that have been, Patel?"
As they approached the sculpture, Rishi saw a sign in front of it that said, "Sartorial Fortune Cookie by Yael Borger, 2017. The body of the cookie is constructed out of PVC pipe over which padding is attached. Sanitized clothes from the landfill cover those. A strip of cloth, which has been printed with each viewer's fortune, can be pulled from the hollow center of the structure. Yael Borger is a senior in the FSSU Fine Arts program and hopes to raise awareness of clothing waste and its impact on the environment.
Cool.
Dimple whistled and reached over to pull a fortune out. She arched her eyebrow at Rishi when she saw he wasn't.
Come on, you have to too.
He sighed and reached into the large slit in the center of the cookie to pull out a strip of fabric.
This is just awkward.
Dimple laughed.
Just read yours.
She unfolded her strip, a piece of sky blue denim with fraying edges, on which words had been printed in white.
Extinction is near.
She looked up at him.
What's yours say?
He turned his black and yellow polka-dotted strip of fabric around. In red, it said, "This will not end well."
Wow,
Dimple laughed.
Ominous.
Rishi crumpled up his strip and stuck it into the recycling bucket provided.
Man, Yael Borger is probably a ton of laughs. Can you just see her at a dinner party?
Putting on a cheerful voice, he said,
"Hi, Yael, how are you doing today?"
And then, in a sepulchral intonation meant to be Yael,
"You will die."
Dimple snorted.
At least she's getting people to think and talk about the issue she wants them to think and talk about. Mission accomplished, I'd say. Isn't that the point of art?
They wound their way around a group of students chattering in the doorway.
I mean, why do you make your comics, for instance?
Release, Rishi answered, before he could really consider censoring himself. To Papa and Ma, he was careful to always say comics were just a fun hobby, inconsequential. They were more magnanimous about them that way.
It's like taking a giant helium balloon full of your worries and just letting it go.
The lobby was huge, marble-floored, and echoing with excited chatter from all the students and exhibitors. A giant banner, similar to the one at the table Kevin Keough had been manning the other day, hung in the center of the space and said, "Welcome to Little Comic-Con. You can turn your art into a career. Let us help." There was a gigantic poster of Naruto Uzumaki hanging from the stair banister. Someone in the department obviously loved anime. Booths with giant banners showcasing various other famous comic characters dotted the space. Rishi saw everything from Pokemon to Harley Quinn to the Hulk. Across the floor, Rishi spotted someone at a crowded booth. His breath caught in his throat.
Oh my gods.
Heart pounding, he grabbed Dimple's hand without thinking and then immediately let go.
It's Leo Tilden.
Who?
Dimple followed his gaze.
Who's that?
He made this totally amazing character, Platinum Panic, for a series of graphic novels. I read them all when I was like 10. It's sort of what got me started on comics. He has these amazing YouTube videos, too.
He rubbed the back of his neck.
It felt surreal to see the man standing not 10 yards away from him after having hero-worshipped him from afar for nearly a decade, after having laughed at every YouTube joke, after having sent him embarrassing fan mail when he was 11, not that he was about to divulge that piece of information to Dimple, or the fact that he kept the postcard Leo had sent back stapled to the last page of his sketchpad. It said, "Semper Pinge, keep drawing always," in Latin. Platinum Panic's catchphrase was, "Semper Sursum, always upward."
Well, come on, let's go wait in line and meet the guy.
Dimple grabbed his hand again and started toward the line. Rishi didn't quite have time to process that, A, she'd grabbed his hand of her own accord, and B, how nice it felt, because he was beginning to freak out. I don't know, Rishi said, pulling back. All of this was happening too fast. It was too much. He'd said yes to Kevin Keough when he should have said no. Now he was at this huge con, and his idol was right in front of him. He was slipping down some comic book rabbit hole. It was, he thought, like trying to stay away from the girl you desperately loved but who you knew was bad for you. You kept your distance because that was the only way to save yourself. You kept your distance because you knew if you didn't, you'd be helplessly and hopelessly caught up in everything you loved about her. Distance was the promise of safety. Without distance, Rishi knew the inexorable love for his art, for creation, would suck him in and never let go. Dimple turned to him, eyes narrowed.
What do you mean you don't know? You just said this guy's your idol, right?
Something in his expression softened her. She put a hand on his arm.
What's up?
I wasn't expecting all this. Rishi waved a hand in the general direction of Leo Tilden. This was supposed to be small. He pointed to the welcome banner that said Little Comic-Con. See? Little. It's even in the name. He smiled, but his heart wasn't in it. Dimple studied him for a second.
Are you afraid that you don't belong here? Or that you do?
He looked at her, startled. How had she so quickly, so succinctly verbalized everything he was feeling? What are you, some kind of mind reader? Dimple smiled.
Look, we'll just go meet Leo Tilden, and then we can leave. You don't even have to let on that you draw or anything. You can pretend your costume is from some Indian comic they haven't heard of.
She shrugged.
What do you have to lose?
She was right. When he looked back on this in a year, when he was at MIT, he wouldn't remember any of these feelings. He'd remember meeting Leo Tilden. He'd always have that. He nodded. All right, Daria. And maybe after that we can go get some gelato or something. Dimple grinned.
Let's do it.
Chapter 23. Rishi. Hi. Leo Tilden's distinctive voice in real life. Wow. Rishi smiled, but he wasn't fully sure he was smiling in a socially appropriate way. Meaning, he was baring his teeth. But the tall, muscular man next to Leo Tilden, his assistant Sven probably, looked fairly perturbed. Dimple elbowed him in the side.
Hi. I'm Big Rishi.
He heard Dimple snort. Oh my gods. Had he just said, I'm a Big Rishi?
Fan!
He corrected, feeling like his entire face was about to burst into flames.
I'm a big fan. My name is...
Let me guess, Leo said, grinning. Rishi.
He held out his hand. Beside him, burly Sven relaxed.
Nice to meet you, my man.
You too,
Rishi said, feeling like he was in some sort of bizarre dream. He made sure to enunciate and face Leo the entire time. He knew from Leo's YouTube videos that the artist was fitted with a cochlear implant, which allowed him to hear, but not quite at the level of a hearing person.
I read Platinum Panic when I was 10. It's what got me into comics. I still remember finding out that you were the only deaf comic book artist to have ever made it so big. It felt...
He shook his head.
Momentous. Like it was okay to break the mold.
Leo nodded.
Totally. It's even necessary to break the mold. We need more people shaking things up. This is where I got my start. At SFSU. They're pretty great about letting diverse voices be heard.
He pointed to Rishi's outfit.
Who are you dressed as?
Rishi looked down. He'd honestly forgotten he was wearing the costume. His mouth felt like the Rajasthan desert.
No one.
Leo raised a bushy eyebrow.
No one?
He pointed to Rishi's gada.
Do you regularly just carry that around with you?
Dimple elbowed him again. He ignored her.
It's just... it's not...
It's Aditya, the sun god superhero. He created the character himself a couple years ago.
Dimple darted Rishi a spiteful, triumphant look. He was going to have a very serious talk with her later. He tried to convey this through his gaze, but she didn't seem to get it. Or, if she did, it didn't seem to make her very nervous.
Really? Leo leaned forward. You have any panels on you?
The messenger bag weighed heavy on Rishi's shoulder. His sketch pad was in there. Years of work. He even had a few recent panels he'd done, all inked in and everything. They were good enough to show Leo Tilden. It wouldn't be embarrassing or anything, but... it felt weird. Like a betrayal of Ma and Papa. They thought he was out here for Dimple. For experience before he went off to MIT. This was exactly the kind of thing they wouldn't want him doing. Showing his sketches to a major graphic novelist felt like a step. A step he wasn't sure he wanted to take.
Not on me. No.
He said, finally. The words like jagged pieces of glass in his mouth. It hurt. It really hurt. Leo looked genuinely disappointed.
Oh, that's too bad. Maybe next time.
There will never be a next time, Rishi thought. He knew this with complete certainty. Somewhere inside him, something soft and creative and vulnerable hardened. A mockingbird turning to stone.
Yeah, sure.
Rishi forced a smile and held out his hand again.
It was nice to meet you. I'd love to buy a signed copy of your latest.
Sven had one at the ready.
Dimple. Dimple darted glances at Rishi as they made their way to the various booths. He smiled, placid, as he observed some art student doing a live demonstration of pottery. Something had shifted in him from 30 minutes ago, something vital. But Dimple didn't know what. Are you okay? She asked, as he took a proffered flyer and then put it down at the next table without looking at it. Yeah. He looked down at her and smiled. It was the fire in his eyes, she realized. It had blazed when he'd first seen Leo Tilden, but it was gone now. Why? Dimple shook her head. I don't know. You seem different. Subdued. Was it because you didn't have your sketches to show Leo Tilden? Because I bet you can ask him if you can email them to him later. Nah, wasn't that. They walked up to an exhibitor booth where a pretty dark-haired woman in bright fuchsia lipstick was demonstrating some new range of markers to a group of guys who were watching her more than her product. Rishi picked up a pack of markers and then set them down again. I think I'm ready to get out of here, though. What about you? Ugh, it was so frustrating how he was doing that. Dimple didn't know what exactly he was doing, but it was definitely frustrating. Yeah, I guess. They began to loop around a group of people lining up for free popcorn when someone shouted out, "Hey, yo! Rishi, right?" They turned to see a wiry guy at a booth a few yards away. He was about Rishi's height, with spiked black hair and red wire-rimmed glasses, and was grinning, waving effusively. He was very obviously dressed as the manga character on the banner right behind him. "Who's that Energizer bunny?" Dimple asked as they began to make their way over. "That's Kevin Keel, the guy who invited me," Rishi said. "He's pretty cool. If it's okay with you, I'll just say hi really quick and then we can go." "Yeah, sure." As they got closer, Dimple saw that Kevin's booth was dedicated to comics and manga. There was even a sketchbook open in front of him, and he looked like he was drawing a cross between a space alien and a girl in yoga pants. It was actually really cool. The whole thing looked 3D, like it was climbing out of the page. Dimple glanced at Rishi, but he was looking at everything in that weird, impassive way again, as if none of this had anything to do with him. What was his deal? Even Dimple thought the sketch was extremely cool, and she wasn't really into artsy stuff. "That's amazing," she said, leaning over to study the detail. From up close, she saw that the alien creature's tentacles were actually made of words, tightly packed together, looping lazily over each other.
"Thanks," Kevin said. "It's dialogue from One Piece."
He gestured to the banner behind him and then his own costume. "I'm dressed as Monkey D. Luffy, the main character. It's one of my favorite shows of all time. Do you watch it?"
Dimple shrugged.
"Sorry, I know absolutely nothing about manga." She glanced at Rishi. "Have you heard of One Piece?"
"Yeah," he nodded, but it was half-hearted, like he was already itching to go. "I watched a few episodes one summer."
Kevin, oblivious to Rishi's lukewarm mood, rubbed his hands together.
"I like how your gutta turned out, man. Really sweet."
He paused, and when Rishi muttered a faint thanks, he powered forward.
"So, what do you think of LCC so far? Meet any cool people?"
Rishi smiled, a close-mouthed thing.
"Yeah, Leo Tilden. That was neat."
He held up the graphic novel he'd bought.
"Got a signed copy."
"Dude is sick," Kevin said, his entire face lit up with passion and excitement and fire.
"Are you subscribed to his YouTube channel?"
When Rishi nodded, he went on, "I tune in every week. I heard he might start taking user subs, and if you go here in the fall..."
"Listen, man, this has been cool, but I gotta say, I don't think I'm gonna be going here. I'm already in at MIT. Rishi shrugged. "Just don't want to lead you on."
"Oh." Kevin's face fell. Then he frowned.
"MIT? But I thought you were into comic art."
"I am." Rishi paused.
"I was. It was more passing hobby in middle school and high school, but I'm not going to have time for all that. I have a real career to focus on, you know?"
Something passed over Kevin's face. More coolly, he said,
"So, what are you going to be studying at MIT?
The way he said it, Dimple could tell he thought Rishi was a pretentious douche nozzle.
"But he's not," she wanted to yell. "I have no idea who this weird, serious zombie is."
"Computer science and engineering," Rishi said. Kevin nodded. His eyes flickered over Rishi's kurta and gada.
"So you didn't go into details before when I saw you. Who are you dressed as?"
Rishi looked down. For a moment, he seemed like he wanted to tell Kevin about Aditya. There was a look, almost like longing, that passed over his features like a soft cloud. Then his expression cleared.
"No one. Just an obscure Indian comic from when I was a kid."
Chapter 24. Dimple. Kevin looked over at Dimple. Clearly he'd dismissed Rishi.
"So," he smiled, "are you into comics or any kind of art? I don't recognize your costume."
"This is Daria, the 90s cartoon. You should check it out if you get a chance. But as far as creativity goes..." Dimple made a face. "I think I was out sick when the artsy genes were being doled out. The extent of my creativity is app development and some website design. Coding is sort of like telling a story, I guess, but nothing other than that. Seriously, though, I think what you've got going on here is pretty sweet."
She gestured around at the building.
"I love all the color, and everyone's costumes are just amazing."
A girl in a gorgeous gold retro dress, blue braids, and makeup that looked airbrushed on walked by, proving her point. Kevin beamed, clearly pleased that at least one of them was in their right mind.
"Well, do you have any major plans tonight after this?"
Dimple shook her head.
"No, I don't think so. Why?"
"The art department students always put on an awesome after party. You should check it out. It usually gets started around 9-ish.
He scribbled an address on a paper in his sketch pad. Ripping it out, he handed it to Dimple. Reluctantly, he turned to Rishi, who was watching the whole exchange impassively.
"You can come too."
"Thanks,"
Rishi said, "but I don't..."
"We would love to," Dimple said firmly, ignoring Rishi's glare. Outside, the air felt cool and revitalizing after the mugginess of Little Comic-Con. Dimple inhaled deeply as they walked away, leaving the noise and the heat and the laughter behind. The world was dark and cold, the stars still obscured by fog. They walked in silence for a few minutes, the breeze rustling the leaves overhead and playing with Dimple's hair. She pulled it up into a bun. "So," she said lightly, "what'd you think?" "I'm a little hungry. You up for some of that gelato we talked about?" Dimple nodded slowly. "Yeah. But, are you gonna tell me what happened in there?" She glanced at Rishi. She couldn't read his expression. "I mean, if you want to." For a moment his expression stayed like that, stone-like and unyielding. But then he took a deep breath. It seemed to begin at the soles of his feet and travel up to his mouth, like he was carrying a weight he was glad to set down for a moment. But when he spoke, his voice was temperate and controlled, mild. "I just don't see the point in wasting time, mine and other people's, on something that's never going to happen." Rishi looked at her and said, almost defiantly, "I am never going to be a comic artist." Dimple wondered whose benefit he was stating it aloud like that for. "So what if it's not going to be your career? You still love it, right? Why can't you just do it as a hobby?" "It's too time-consuming," Rishi said, but even he didn't sound convinced. "And it all snowballs. You saw that. Kevin wanted me to apply there. Leo Tilden wanted to see my sketches. Much ado about nothing." "They're excited for you," Dimple said, shaking her head. "I think it's great that there are people who want to see you succeed. You keep saying you're not going to be a comic artist, but I think the point is that if you wanted to be, you could." Rishi laughed, but there was no joy in it. "It's not that simple. I mean, it's great for Kevin Keough that he just knows he wants to be a comic artist and feels free to pursue it, but I'm not like that. Do you know the odds of someone becoming the next Leo Tilden or Stan Lee? 1,000,000 to 1. I know what's important to me. I want a life. I want to get married and have a family. I can't support a family working as a waiter and hoping to break out as a comic book artist." "You're 18. Dimple looked at him, wondering if this were some weird universe where Rishi would turn out to be a 2,000-year-old vampire instead. "You don't have to worry about all of that yet." Rishi sighed and kicked a small rock in his path, sending it skittering off into the night. It lay glittering under a tree. "I know I don't have to, but I want to. I'm never going to be that crazy 18-year-old party animal, you know? It's just not my scene." Dimple smiled. She loved a challenge. "Really? Have you ever been to a party? Like, in high school?" "Sure I have." Dimple raised an eyebrow. "Like, a legit party, one a parent didn't organize." There was silence. She laughed. "You were thinking of Diwali parties, weren't you?" "Hey, they're legit parties," Rishi said, but he was laughing too. "Okay, we're totally going to this party." Dimple held up the piece of paper on which Kevin had scribbled the address. Rishi made a face.
"Really?"
"Really. You don't have to be a party animal to go to a party and have a good time. I've been to a few small ones with friends in high school, and I swear they weren't so bad. It's a chance to hang out, that's all." Seeing him open his mouth to argue, Dimple rushed on. "Besides, just look at it as a social experiment. You have to go to at least one college party, right? It's like a rite of passage. You can just get it out of the way now, with me as your guide." After a moment, he shut his mouth.
"Oh, fine."
Dimple jostled him with her shoulder. "Good. You might even have some fun."
"Rishi. This is insane." Rishi and Dimple stood across from the house where the party was. There was no mistaking they were at the right location. The front yard was decorated with what looked like a DIY glow-in-the-dark bowling set made from plastic water bottles with glow sticks inside them. People were trying to knock down the pins while screeching with laughter. What Rishi was pretty sure was a life-size doll sat in a tree like she was watching the proceedings, her lips, hair, and dress glowing from the blacklights strung in the tree branches. The front door was open, and the music pouring out of it was so loud that the bass shook the ground under Rishi's feet.
"We can't go in there. Those people look drunk off their butts."
"Oh, come on. You can't even see them from here. Besides, look at this place. This is a real college experience."
Dimple grabbed his wrist and pulled him across the street. Her eyes, Rishi saw, were glued to the bowling pins. On the tiny front porch was a cooler filled with drinks, both adult and not. Dimple grabbed two Cokes and handed one to Rishi.
"Was that beer in there?"
he asked, shaking his head as she shut the top. Dimple gave him a look.
"Yeah, some people here are 21.
Seeing his unconvinced expression, she added,
"You know, one beer won't land a person homeless on the streets."
Rishi popped open his Coke and followed her into the house.
"Ha ha, you know, I watched this documentary one time."
Dimple. Dimple walked in and peeked around the corner, while Rishi talked at length about how addiction could wrap itself around you like a python and squeeze you dry if you weren't watching out for it. There was a small kitchen, she saw, and people were bustling around getting things ready for the party. A tall boy poured lemonade out of a carton into tiny plastic glasses on a tray. A girl with multiple piercings in her lips and ears and nose put a fresh batch of brownies into the oven. Dimple smiled to herself, an evil thought taking root as the boy brought out the tray of lemonade and set it down on a table near where she and Rishi were standing. Glancing at Rishi, she confirmed what she suspected. He hadn't seen any of this. He was still talking about the documentary and how heroin was the new drug of choice for suburban kids. Her smile widening, Dimple reached out for the tray full of pink drinks and downed one quickly.
Chapter 25. Rishi.
"You don't even know what was in that,"
Rishi said, trying not to let his voice reach the crescendo it wanted to.
"Was she crazy? He'd never drink anything that he hadn't made himself or at least seen someone pour. She didn't even know these people."
Turning around, Dimple put her hands on his elbows and leaned in so he could hear her over the thumping music. It was dark inside, with just a few black lights and glow sticks strung up around the place, and Rishi found his heartbeat quickening just a bit.
"Relax,"
she yelled.
"It was just pink lemonade, I promise."
Then, grinning, she picked up another pink lemonade and drank it.
"I'm going to keep doing that until you drink something, too. Loosen up."
A throng of people came by, hooting and hollering as they rushed outside to bowl. There were only three drinks left, and, raising her eyebrows, Dimple reached for another.
"Okay, okay," Rishi said.
He grabbed one of the little plastic cups and downed one. It was tart and sweet and slid easily down his throat. To be honest, it really didn't taste like anything more sinister than strawberry lemonade. Maybe this party wasn't as completely out of control as he'd thought.
"There," he said. "Happy?"
Dimple grinned.
"It's a start. Come on, let's see what they're doing."
She pointed to a bunch of people who were clustered around a red-headed boy and a girl in braids who sat on the couch across from each other, sketchpads poised on their laps. Rishi followed Dimple as she pushed through the crowd, slipping easily between people who were much taller and bigger than her. Rishi followed with a few excuse-me's and pardons.
"Okay, another one,"
a tall boy who was clearly playing the role of MC said, looking out at the small crowd. The boy and girl on the couch switched to blank sheets on their pads.
"What's going on?"
Rishi asked a tall, thin guy standing next to him, and Dimple leaned in to listen.
"They're having a sketch-off," the guy said, grinning. "People in the crowd call out suggestions of crazy things for them to draw, and then they do it." "Miley Cyrus and Darth Vader's child,"
someone in the crowd called out, and someone else added,
"with gothic flair."
Everyone laughed and hooted their approval.
Dimple. Both the Skechers put in a valiant effort. It was hard to see in the dim black light, and whatever outside light filtered in through the windows. But on the pad of the guy nearest her, Dimple could make out a hilarious rendition of Darth Vader's helmet atop a sexy woman riding a giant ball. In an attempt to make it gothic, the guy was drawing spires along the top of the page. "You should do that next," Dimple said.
"What?"
Rishi looked at her in alarm, his thick eyebrows almost disappearing into his floppy hair. She had a sudden urge to giggle. So she did.
"I think you should compete next," Dimple explained. She pointed to the two artists.
"I don't think so," Rishi said, giving her an "okay, crazy lady" look. "And time," the MC guy shouted, and the artists set their pencils down. One of them wiggled his fingers as people began to vote on who won, which consisted of them shouting out either "Vinny" or "Lola." Someone, obviously too excited for his own good, said "Lolini." They counted that one as one vote for both artists. At the end, Lola was declared the winner. Vinny slammed his sketchpad closed and proceeded to disappear into the darkened rooms of the house with a girl from the audience. Lola, a small woman with blue, or burgundy, or yellow, it was hard to tell in the light, braids, looked around at everyone, smiling too widely. "So, who's next?" Dimple pushed Rishi, harder than she'd meant to, and he went stumbling forward, so his shins knocked against the table. "All right," Lola said, looking up at him. "Have a seat," she grinned wider, "and get ready to lose." Rishi tossed Dimple a baleful look over his shoulder, but he sat down and pulled out his sketchpad. "Okay, contestants, introduce yourselves to each other," the MC said. "I'm Lola," the girl said, holding out a hand. "Rishi." He shook her hand. "Great. Now let's hear some suggestions, guys." MC Boy looked around at the swarming, grinning, chattering crowd. Someone in the audience yelled, "A sloth! In a dress, doing ballet!" There were hoots of approval, so the two of them nodded at each other and began to draw. Dimple had been to a magic show before. She'd been 8, and her elementary school principal had hired some dude named Amos the Amazing to entertain them. She remembered sitting in the auditorium with all the other sweaty second graders. Neck craned to look up at the stage while Amos pulled out orange silk scarves from his sleeves, made a bunny appear out of thin air and then disappear again, and pushed a penny through his own palm. She'd been totally enthralled. For 2 weeks afterward, she'd even decided she wanted to be a magician when she grew up. Her stage name would be Dimple the Dazzling. But that complete rapture was nothing compared to what she was feeling now. As Rishi sat there, hunched over his sketchpad, the stub of a pencil in his hand, the other hand curled around the corner of the paper, Dimple knew he wasn't really there. He'd checked out. He was on some floating island made of graphite and paper where this reality didn't exist. The only thing he saw was the bizarre ballerina sloth in his head, the one that was taking shape pencil stroke by pencil stroke on paper. His lines were confident and sure, the emerging picture comical and twisted and breathtakingly mesmerizing all at the same time. Dimple noticed people nudging each other, leaning in to get closer, to really take in the little details, like how the sloth was wearing a monocle, or the fact that Rishi was drawing it with a perfect ballerina's bun, except the bun happened to be a croissant. A few minutes later, the MC called out, "Time!" Rishi set his pencil down and flexed his fingers. His eyes searched for Dimple's in the crowd, and when they locked gazes, he grinned, big and happy. Dimple felt something flutter in her chest as she smiled back. It was almost unanimous. Rishi won. Lola stood. "Great work," she said, nodding seriously. "You go here?" Rishi shook his head. "No, I'm just here for a summer program."
He darted a glance at Dimple. Too bad, Lola said as she gathered her sketch pad and adjusted her skirt. You kick butt. Who wants to go head-to-head with our new champion, Rishi? MC Boy asked, but Rishi stood up and shook his head. No thanks, man, I'm done. People groaned and booed, but Rishi held up his hands, sketch pad and all, and made his way over to Dimple. She felt suddenly shy. It was weird, but it was like she'd seen a part of him she'd never knew existed. Most people wouldn't have this kind of reaction to a sloth in a monocle doing ballet, she knew. It was hard to explain, even to herself. Rishi had a gift, a serious gift that he didn't seem to like to share with people. Dimple knew why now. It was so intimate. He became someone else, stripped down, unselfconscious, unaware. She'd seen what his soul was made of, and she'd liked it. So, he said, smiling at her, tucking his sketchpad into his messenger bag and snapping it shut. What do you want to do next? She rubbed her arm. I'm not sure. Dimple! They both turned at the voice to see Kevin Keough coming into the house, followed by three other artsy types. One of the girls, Dimple saw, was the one with the piercings she'd seen earlier, putting brownies into the oven. You came! She smiled. Yeah, thanks for inviting us. This is a cool party. She nudged Rishi. He just won a sketch-off. Really? Kevin eyed him a little warily. Great. The girl with the piercings set the plate of brownies on the table where the lemonade was. You guys want one? She asked, taking a square herself. Sure, Dimple said, reaching for it. Rishi grabbed her elbow. Dimple, are you sure those brownies are safe to eat? He whispered in her ear. She tried to ignore the tickle of his breath in her ear, or the way it sent a little delicious shiver up her spine. Yes, it's fine, Dimple said, aware that her voice was 2 octaves too high. Rishi didn't seem to notice. But you don't know for sure, he repeated, raising his eyebrows for emphasis. Kevin Keough watched this interaction in interest. Chapter 26. Dimple. Stifling a laugh, Dimple reached for one of the totally innocent brownies and took a bite. It's good. My favorite mix, the girl said, made from scratch. You're a really talented baker, Dimple said, and the girl flushed with pleasure. Rishi leaned in to Dimple as Kevin and his friends began to disperse into the crowd. How can you just eat and drink things in a place like this? He looked around at all the people hooking up and shouting and laughing in near darkness. Dimple took another bite, chewed and swallowed. Are you serious right now? He looked at her blankly. You need to relax and let go a little. Rishi opened his mouth and she said, And please don't say I need to watch out for the date rape drug. Because I already saw these were completely safe, she thought, but did not say. She was enjoying watching Rishi worrying about her, though she didn't want to admit it. He snapped his mouth shut. Okay, I won't. But seriously, aren't you worried? Didn't you ever pay attention in any of those DARE presentations? Dimple snorted and took another bite. No, did you? Rishi rubbed his jaw. That's not the point. Look, you can't just wander around a strange party, drinking and eating from unattended containers. It's not safe. People will take advantage. He stopped talking when Dimple leaned closer to him and brushed his lips with the rest of her brownie. You know you want to. It's delicious. Looking down at her, he shook his head and made a noise in the back of his throat without opening his mouth. Oh, my God, he was so cute. Dimple batted her eyelashes at him and said in a sultry voice she had no idea she was capable of, Please, Rishi Patel. Something glittered in his eyes at her words, and Dimple felt herself flushing at whatever was going on,
practically rippling in the air between them.
After a pause, Rishi obediently did as she asked. Dimple felt a thrill that he'd actually listened to her, that somehow, some way, she seemed to have power over this boy.
Rishi. It was important not to panic. So, okay, he'd just downed a brownie that might potentially contain something illegal. That he'd done it because of Dimple's petite chocolate brownie-scented hand near his mouth, and because she was standing so close to him he could feel her body heat, just made it worse. But Rishi wouldn't think about that. He wasn't going to worry about the possibility of a SWAT team bursting through the door, throwing him to the ground, and handcuffing him either. He wouldn't think about writing letters home from his prison cell while his somewhat flirty 6'3" roommate Bozo watched. Dimple giggled. Giggled! A sound he'd never imagined leaving her mouth, and let her hand drop. Rishi was immediately bereft.
You should see your face.
I bet it's nothing compared to my brain waves. They're probably crying out, spiraling into years of addiction. Dimple shook her head and sighed.
There's nothing in that brownie except sugar and fat.
She gave him a sidelong glance.
I saw them make it, okay? I peeked into the kitchen when you weren't looking.
Without talking about it, she and Rishi began to make their way to the sliding back door. The dark backyard beyond looked mostly empty. Rishi opened his mouth and feigned being aghast at her, his heart lifting when she trilled a laugh.
Sorry, sorry, she said, lifting her hands in front of her. You're just too easy with your paranoia.
It's not paranoia, Dimple. I think it's idealistic to trust people so completely. That's why I don't like going to parties. He could feel her watching him in that sardonic, dimple way she had. Eyes calculating, eyebrows slightly furrowed.
Yes?
She stepped through the sliding door, and he followed, pulling it shut behind them, hoping to deter any wasted college students from following. They made their way to a grove of bushes off to the right, the breeze just cool enough to provide some respite from the thick, soupy heat of bodies inside.
Well, see, I don't think it's idealistic. People go to parties all the time to just kick back and chill. For me, it's about getting away from the constant pressure I felt at home to be someone I wasn't. Didn't you ever feel the need to let go of stress?
Rishi laced his hands behind his head. There was a small bench beyond the grove of bushes, sheltered from the rest of the yard and the house. He went to it, and Dimple followed. There was a soft quietness in his head now, as if the world was at a remove. His voice sounded muffled in the fog.
Sure I did. That's why I drew.
He sat on the cold stone bench and put his messenger bag down by his feet. I never felt the need for anything else. Dimple sat beside him, her arms and legs stiff, as if she were afraid of encroaching on his personal space, of touching him. He knew how she felt. Before, scraping elbows together or grabbing her hand had seemed benign, just exciting enough without being serious or scary. But here, in this private little alcove in the dark, things felt more, bigger. And Rishi wasn't entirely certain he wanted to go down that path. Mainly because he wasn't certain she did.
Hmm.
When Dimple didn't say anything else, he tipped his head back, drank in the air. The fog coated the sky and filtered through the trees around them, so it felt like they were encased in a tiny gray bubble. Just him and Dimple. His heart beat faster at the thought of that, but he felt fine about the unknown of it all. He felt fine about everything, he thought. With a small smile. She had that effect on him.
Show me your sketch pad.
The fine feeling disappeared. Rishi looked at her, big eyes shining in the dark behind those glasses. Some of her wild hair, curly again thanks to the humidity in the air, was brushing his shoulder in spite of her careful posture, as if it had a life of its own. Huh?
You must have some sketches in there, right? You lied to Leo Tilden.
Leo Tilden felt like forever ago. Thinking back to that moment made something unpleasant and bitter squirm in his stomach.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's just they're not that great.
Don't do that.
Dimple turned toward him completely, her face eager in the dim light.
Don't downplay your talent. If you don't want to show me, just say so. But I saw what you're capable of in there.
She gestured toward the house.
And it was remarkable. Aditya, what I've seen of him, is amazing. So it's clear you have talent. Lots of it. I don't know why you don't want to show people, though. If it were me, I'd be diving into it whole hog.
Is that what you're doing?
Dimple nodded, her face small and vulnerable.
Trying to. And it's crazy scary, but, you know, what's the alternative? Just forget about it? I can't.
She leaned forward.
You shouldn't either, Rishi. Just because it's scary...
It's not because it's scary.
He sat back, taking a deep breath. It still wasn't easy to talk about this, even with Dimple's presence turning everything pink and soft around the edges. But looking at Dimple's open face, hearing her earnest questions, his usual inhibitions turned to puffs of cloud, insubstantial, floating away as he tried to grasp them. Rishi found himself being honest. I would love to do what you're doing, to immerse myself in the work, to think, breathe, eat, and sleep art. But that's how it'd have to be. See, there's no in-between for me. I can't be an engineer and a part-time comic book artist. It can't be a hobby. I love it too much. It means too much to me. It's like having a child, I guess. How I imagine that would be. All-consuming.
Well, then, that's easy, isn't it?
Dimple sounded genuinely confused.
Do it. Do what you love. What you're passionate about. So what if it's not the most practical thing? You're 18. You don't have to be practical for a long, long time. Maybe not ever if you choose not to be. There are people who live very frugally, who just keep plugging away for years because they can't think of doing it any other way.
That's not going to be me. Rishi shifted, uncomfortable, suddenly done talking about it.
Why not?
I told you. My parents, I made them a promise. I'm their oldest son. It's just not going to happen. I have duties, obligations.
Dimple sighed, soft and slow. Rishi looked at her for a second, touched at how much she seemed to care. Then, without giving himself too much time to think about it, he reached down and unsnapped his messenger bag top. Sliding his sketch pad out, Rishi held it out to her. Chapter 27 Rishi. Dimple smiled, a lantern in the night.
Really?
Rishi nodded, and she took the sketch pad, setting it carefully on her lap. She pulled her cell phone out of her pocket, turned on a flashlight app, and set it on the bench between them. Then, almost reverentially, she began lifting the cover.
Wait.
Rishi put a hand on hers. She looked at him quizzically, her face and glasses tinted a silver blue from the phone.
So, these aren't finished sketches. Well, some of them are, but some aren't. More just like... blocking. Like ideas.
Okay.
Dimple nodded, and he let go of her hand. She began to flip the cover open again. He put a hand on hers. She looked at him, one eyebrow raised.
One more thing. Don't look just at what's happening. Look at the nuance. Like, notice the backgrounds in each panel. That's important information. It'll tell you more about what I had planned for the story. It'll set the mood and everything.
Dimple nodded again.
Okay.
Rishi let go of her hand, and she began to open the cover.
Oh, and another thing. Rishi!
She said, turning so she could look him in the eye.
I have no expectations, okay? None. Whatever's in here, I'm not going to be judging. I just want to take it in.
He studied her, the honesty in her eyes, the frank openness of her face, and his shoulders relaxed.
Okay.
Dimple opened the sketch pad, and as she studied each panel, each sketch, each line he'd made, Rishi studied her. She smiled quietly at some sketches. Others seemed to arrest her. Her gaze would travel over each line, over and over, and sometimes she'd pull the book closer. One she stopped and squinted at, the most curious mixture of disbelief, amusement, and wonder on her face. Rishi leaned in to see what she was looking at. It was a panel he'd done around 2 years ago, of a boy of about 10 or 11 making paper flowers out of a heap of crumpled pages while rain poured outside his window. Rishi chuckled, the sound slow and deep in his head. Paper flowers. I used to make those when I was that age. I don't know why, but I was obsessed with them for a while. That panel was more like an exercise. I was feeling sluggish and empty that day. It wasn't nearly his best. He didn't know why Dimple seemed so enthralled with it. She turned to look at him, that same strange expression still on her face. Her entire body was frozen. Still.
You made paper flowers. Out of magazines.
He nodded, surprised.
How'd you know I did them out of magazine pages?
Don't you remember?
Dimple shook her head, her eyes wide as she studied him.
Keep it. Remember me, and don't tattle.
And just like that, the memory slammed into him. He'd been dragged along by Papa and Ma to some Indian acquaintance's wedding in San Diego. It was hot, and the wedding was outside. Ashish was being a baby, whining about being hungry, and his parents were bickering about something, and there were absolutely no activities for the kids to do, so Rishi told his parents he had to go to the bathroom and wandered off. His kurta had been a thick gold brocade, he remembered, and itchy as heck. His plan was to get inside the big hotel where it was cool and air-conditioned and find a t-shirt or something to wear. Maybe he'd steal it from an open room. That always seemed to work in the movies. But when he got inside, Rishi saw the guests had commandeered the interior lobby too. There was no way to get past them and to the upstairs. There were caterers and waiters and nosy aunties and uncles everywhere. So he ducked into a room with a sign that said Conference Room A, whatever that was, and sat down on a chair in the semi-dark, just one lamp in the corner of the big room was on, grateful for the cool and quiet. There was a pile of magazines on the table in front of him, and Rishi began methodically ripping out pages as he sat, folding and turning them into flowers that he set in a line in front of him. He'd gotten into the habit just months ago, having seen some special on TV. Rishi first tried it with one of Ma's Bollywood magazines and found it weirdly compelling, not even minding that his fingers were constantly covered in paper cuts. Now he made roses and mums and lilies, the repetitive, familiar motion soothing. He was on his third rose when he heard someone clear their throat. Startled, Rishi looked up at a small girl with wild hair. She sat on a high-backed armchair he hadn't noticed in the corner of the room. A copy of A Wrinkle in Time was face down in her lap, and her feet, sticking out from underneath her bright blue lehenga, didn't touch the floor. She was staring at him through glasses that were too big for her narrow face.
Why are you ripping off those magazines? They're not yours.
Her voice was high-pitched. It reminded him of Tinkerbell, a cartoon Ashish loved to watch, though he didn't like to be teased about it. Rishi had learned that the hard way. He still had the bruise on his shin. Rishi sat back, letting the rose fall from his fingers, and studied the tiny girl. She must be around his age, he decided, in spite of her unimpressive size.
You're not a tattletale, are you?
He asked, in a way that implied, A, there was little he could think of that was worse than being one, and B, she definitely looked like one.
No,
the girl said immediately, almost before he was done speaking, pushing those oversized glasses up on her nose.
I was just asking.
Rishi looked at her for another long moment, appraising. Then he said,
I'm bored,
and went back to rolling the paper for his next flower.
Why are you in here reading?
The girl studied him for a minute before replying.
I'm bored, too.
Rishi nodded, but kept his eyes on his lily. After a pause, the girl hopped off her chair and came up to the table, sidling into the chair across from him.